We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, and our next guest is Greg Istone. He is the Riley County K-State Horticulture Agent here, and always a pleasure to talk to you, Greg.
Hey, yeah, welcome, and good Friday to you in many ways.
Absolutely, yeah, good Friday. Every Friday is a good Friday, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
We don't need Easter for that, but definitely it is a great day, and lots of good weather coming up here this weekend, and really in the month of April, I think is going to be a lot nicer than we saw even in March. As the weather warms up, people are going to be out more and working on their lawns.
Yeah, you get a nice day early March, and people are starting to think about their lawn and putting down crabgrass preventers. That's kind of the hot topic right now. March is usually too early. It depends on the product you're using. We have lots of options nowadays. So if you're using a product called Barricade, then that does need to go down fairly early. It was designed for commercial operations so that they could even put it down in the fall, kind of spread out their workload a little bit. And it's a good one. All these pre-emergents work pretty well. Timing, I guess, is the key, putting them down so that they're active and functioning when you want them to. I think the problems I usually see or get calls on is in late July or August, lots of crabgrass growing fast. It loves the hot weather, dry weather, and the seed heads start to pop up and you mow it down one day and next day it's kind of up there. And so I think a little bit of that is our timing on our products. So if we put them down too early, they kind of run out of their strength. Last year we had pretty wet summer and that will dilute it as well. And so we talk about timing on these products, April 1st, maybe for the Barricade product. So if that's the one you choose, I would put that one down. Many people use maybe a little bit older chemistry, the pendomethalin products. Real good product, but it only is short-lived, 6 to 8 weeks. So generally we put that down maybe mid-April. It's all based on soil temperatures and sunlight for crabgrass to start to germinate. And usually we see that sometime in May, some of those seeds germinating. And so we put this down a couple weeks ahead of time, watered in so it's active and can control those seedlings as they grow. We also have a product, Dimension, which is the only pre-emergent that actually kills young seedling crabgrass. And so that one can go down even later in the season and still have pretty good control. So I'm suggesting maybe around May 1st for that type of product. The goal is to make sure we're having a residual product there for later in the season and that it hasn't ran out of strength and you start to see some crabgrass, if that bothers you, later in the season. We also have maybe a little bit newer chemistry, although it's been around a while, a product called Quinclorac. And that is first introduced as a post-emergent crabgrass control without damaging your existing grass. So grasses being like, it's a little hard to control grasses in grasses, but this actually works. And so if you put down your pre-emergent, if you want to, and you still have some crabgrass showing up, you notice it when it's still fairly young, this Quinclorac is an option to eradicate young seedling existing crabgrass and maybe some other weeds that you have in your lawn. So there's lots of options. I guess my main point is know what you have, what you're putting down, and don't put it down too early. I've had people tell me they put stuff down in March, and depending on what they had, product they use, that may not work when you need it to, when crabgrass is really germinating and going strong.
All right. If you are mowing your lawn, is there a certain level you want to cut it at? Do you want to not cut it too low, too high?
Yeah, we never want to scalp the lawn because that's going to probably damage and kill some of your turf. We have these ranges that we like to keep your lawnmower set at. And for tall fescue, generally that's what I talk about because probably 95% of us have the cool season tall fescue grass, well adapted, greens up early in the springtime, stays through most of the summer and fall. So we typically don't want to mow that less than 2 inches. So our one-third rule, which is for good health of turf, is if it gets 3 inches tall, you mow off an inch and keep it at two. Tall fescue really likes to be mowed even taller than that. So I kind of keep mine mowed at 3.5, which means it's about 5 1/4 inch, I think, before I mow. And so we just don't want to remove too much leaf tissue, which really reduces the food energy that can go into that plant and have a healthy lawn. Mentioned crabgrass. Crabgrass is going to grow in a thinner lawn. And so if we can mow tall, fertilize properly, which is in the fall, basically for tall fescue, and water periodically when we need to, we're going to have a thicker stand of grass and less opportunity for crabgrass to grow in there. There's always the edges along the curb, sidewalk, gets hotter, harder to grow tall fescue. And so that's typically where we see most of our weed issues.
All right. Let's talk about vegetable gardening. That's a good time to get started if you haven't already, huh?
Yeah. We've got some things in the ground, hopefully. We do see most of our production of peas and potatoes if they're planted in March. You know, that was 2 days ago, but get those in the ground as soon as possible for best production if you're wanting to grow those type of crops. We planted a few of our school gardens. We got spinach and radish, onion sets, and lettuce. And so those things definitely can be put out in the garden. Hopefully our severe cold has done for the spring. I planted my broccoli a couple of weeks ago, and it kind of took a hit the last couple of days. So we'll see how that responds. But those transplants, broccoli, cabbage, maybe cauliflower. Cauliflower is a little bit warmer liking plant. We can put in the garden. And of course, our soils are cold, so the nutrients are harder for them to take up. So we use what's called a starter fertilizer, a little liquid phosphorus at your planting of your transplants. And that's going to give them a boost and get going fast. After that, the soil should warm up and there's probably nutrients in there for them. So coming up, maybe you'd be thinking about planting some beets and carrots, and it's way too early for our tomatoes and those things. Really like warm weather, so let's wait till the soil temperatures get above 55 degrees for any root development and growth on our warm season vegetables. We're talking May is probably the best time for those things to go in the ground.
All right. I'm not much of a gardener, but I tell you what, one thing I will never grow because I don't like it is beets. Blech. Beets. No thanks.
The thing about some of these crops like beets and carrots, you plant them and you have to go back and thin them. A beet actually has 2 to 4 seeds in that little thing you plant. It's called a burr. And so you're definitely probably going to have to go back and thin and give them enough place for them to grow. So that's a little more intense gardening on some of these crops as well.
All right. Well, what other upcoming events do we have for your office?
Yeah, so Karen mentioned about the Flint Hills Home Show, and we'll have a booth there on April 17th and 18th out of the Army National Guard. And we're promoting our KansasRoots.org website and want to promote that all the time. So what KansasRoots.org has on it is suggested and recommended plants to grow in our environment. And so it's fairly intensive website. You can do some searches is what I'm trying to say. So if you have a specific criteria that you're looking for a good plant to fit into your garden or landscape, there's some search pieces there that you can select and help you narrow down your list if you want. So again, KansasRoots.org, it is a K-State research and extension website that Dr. Cheryl Boyer put up there. And it's mobile, so if you're at the garden center or wherever and you have a question about a plant, you can try and search and see if it's one that we suggest. As you know, Kansas is a interesting climate to live and grow in. And so we need plants that have the genetics and the capabilities to try and adapt or survive our environment. And so the KansasRoots.org is a pretty good site to go and look at. Of course, on our regular website, K-State Research and Extension, we have a listing of plants that are recommended. And here shortly, we'll be putting out some of our information. The City Park Typically allows us to put out our rose brochure. That's the listing of the roses there in the Rose Garden, and our City Park Tree Walk. We'll be putting those flyers up on their arbor there, and it's up on our website as well. So if you're out going for a walk and you kind of question what that tree is, there's a map there to help identify it. We can't label the trees per se, but the map hopefully will get you in the right area and be able to figure out which tree that is.
That's cool. I love stuff like that. So that'll be neat to look forward to. Well, Greg, about out of time. Anything else?
One last thing. Put on your calendar. June 26th will be our Riley County Extension Master Gardener hosted tour. It'll be a Saturday from 8 to noon, a little bit different than in the past. It's going to be later in the season, so hopefully we'll have more daylilies in bloom. And a couple of our host sites are going to have more daylilies for us to look at. So there'll be more information, obviously, coming out. But June 26th from 8 to noon will be the garden tour this year.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we always appreciate the updates, and have a happy Easter.
You too, Brandon. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Greg Eystone joining us on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Stay tuned. We'll hear from Clancy Holman and Greg McHenry from the Riley County. And that's coming up next on KMAN.